serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going?
Yes. Copyright is not doing crap.
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the artist to control.
Right now.
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
It's
fair. Hey. This is CITR 101.9. You're listening to The Copyright Experiment. This is DJ Mochi, and I'm here with DJ Autonomy.
Yeah, what's up?
Or just Autonomy, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, there's like some people were like particular about which one they have in. Yeah. Anyways, though, so this week we are going to talk about the cost of free. So when someone says free music, you know, what do they mean? I think
this was going to be kind of like a two-part series because this week I think we're going to talk about what that means, the cost of free means to you, the consumer of music, and next week we're having a guest in. We'll tell you about that later, but then we'll be talking about what that means for producers, what the cost is of giving away music.
Yeah, and more in an artistic sense next week. But this week we're looking, like Tim just said, more about sort of as a consumer, when you're buying something, you know, are you giving information? Are you giving some other form of basically compensation for what you're listening to?
Yeah, you know, it's the old saying, no such thing as a free lunch. So yeah, this definitely applies in anything on the online world too.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially things like music, where people are, you know, really putting in hard work to make it happen. And trust me, electronic music is hard work. there's a few things we want to talk about. First of all, there's a sort of pay what you want phenomenon. There's merchandise, shows, the value of followers and likes and retweets, and then sort of other ways of getting revenue like Kickstarter and ad-based services and an interesting subscription service that I have a few friends who are a part of. That one is called drip.fm, and we'll sort of talk through those. I think to start off, maybe it'll be interesting to talk about an artist, Amanda Palmer. I guess, pardon my language, Amanda fucking Palmer. Is that her? I think that's actually her name or something.
Is it really?
I'm not sure, but that's what people call her anyways.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's cool.
Yeah, but she recently had a Kickstarter project for an album which raised $1.2 million. And that is a lot of money to have people donate for someone's artistic project. In one sense, it seems like that to me. But really, you think about how much these artists are making for albums that aren't by donation, and they're making just as much. So this way, I think it's almost better because, you know, it's going directly to the artist and people are giving it willingly. It's not like, oh, you know, and sorry to sort of interrupt myself, but a lot of people would ask, how did you, you know, like, Amanda, how did you get them to pay you? How did you make them pay you $1.2 million? And she said, well, that's the whole thing. I never made anyone pay anything. I just asked them to donate to my project. And that's what made the difference. And she does a really wonderful TED Talk where she talks about her life and stuff. And that's, I think it's really worth watching, worth listening to. I think
the takeaway lesson from that then is that you don't really have to resort to, you know, market tactics or just like any crazy marketing scheme to get people to actually listen to your music or want to hear it or want to support you, right?
Yeah,
so they'll do it on their own if you're doing something they like.
Yeah, and
people will naturally want to support the artist that they like, whether it's through money or some other form, which, you know, artists are turning to get their music out, right?
Yeah, and it's even more important now that, you know, if you really want to, you can find most songs on the internet for free somehow. Often illegally and, or, you know, with sharing, whatever, which, you know, it's a gray area legally, but it makes it less attractive to make people pay when, you know, if they don't want to pay the price, then they're just going to go somewhere else and get it. So then it becomes the option which is more attractive for labels and actually in a lot of cases, and also for artists to just say, okay, I'm going to put it up and people can do what they want with it and, you know, pay how much they feel like. And that kind of brings us to the first interesting way of getting payment, and that's the pay what you want, which is seen often on Bandcamp and I think Radiohead's, was it In Rainbows?
That? Yeah, I think it was In Rainbows, that was Pay What You Want.
Yeah.
There's major like platforms that artists use to distribute their music now, and Bandcamp's obviously a big one. Mm-hmm. A lot of people use Topspin, and which is a little more behind the scenes, so people don't really know about it as much, but it's pretty heavily used as well.
Yeah. And you know, you see some people and doing this, and I guess I wonder how much money are they actually making. And I looked for statistics and things, and I couldn't really find anything except for a study which showed that some people feel bad when paying less than they feel they ought to, so they just avoid buying it at all or downloading it at all, which seems kind of surprising to me. Yeah. But I think that's also the study's sort of sample group was limited to styles of music which aren't as digital.
Hmm. So more mainstream oriented.
Well, no, it's actually I think the study was more classical and jazz music. So that makes sense because it's not as, you know, there's people that listen to that, or not people that listen to that, but that kind of music, you really feel more of the effort because people are actually playing the instruments. Whereas electronic music, it's kind of just like, oh, okay, you know, it's like, I don't know, something about that seems easier to me.
It's electronic music is very. I mean, it's quicker to make an entire song just because there's a lot you can rely on, but it creates, and because it's all digital usually, or at least all electronic, it makes it very easy to have that turnaround of, you know, composition, producing, putting it out there, distribution, and actually listening to it. The cycle has just been like squashed dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely, which is I guess different from the styles of music they were doing in the study. But anyways, the pay what you want is sort of one way of getting money. It's sort of one, you know, this is free is like, okay, this is free, you can have it, but, you know, we're going to put a little pressure on you sort of indirectly to say, hey, you know, I'm making this, I would like some money for it.
Yeah.
Which I think is, it works for some people. And I mean, there's a lot of people who are doing it at least. And we'll see if those artists stick around, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's fair for artists to kind of say, you know, I would accept compensation for this, but if all you want to do is listen to it, then you can have it, because you're not going to stop anyone from getting it or putting it in their hands, which I think is a major departure from the way we traditionally view music, is that artists who are kind of in that mindset are saying, I'll use any form necessary or any motivation necessary to get you to listen to this music or have this music. You can have it. But, you know, it would be nice for money. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably the most traditional way that, or close to as the most traditional way as possible, is, you know, asking for money if you want. But there's certainly a lot of other things that people, artists will ask for in exchange for their music.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the downloads that I've seen, which is, you know, they ask for a like on Facebook, or they ask you to, like I saw one guy, Tony Quattro, he says, you know, okay, I'll release this when I get 200 followers on Twitter.
200?
Yeah. I know, isn't that nice? He's so huge. He's a great producer. But anyway, so if you don't know him, you should check his music out and follow him. But,
yeah, follow him. Maybe he'll give us some more music.
Yeah. And it's I won't get into it right now. But anyways, so there's, you know, the likes, the tweets, sometimes they ask you to follow them in some sense, or give out your email, or what else have you seen, Tim?
Obviously it's mostly now it's Facebook likes.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's interesting to think though about what exactly that entails for the person receiving the music. I mean, it's called a free download because there's no money involved. But what is the cost to the user, right? Nobody has really come up with a definitive answer. I know some people have tried to quantify how much personal data is worth on average based on things like Facebook's evaluated net worth, right? So yeah. you could theoretically take their net worth and divide it by all the users they have, because without their users, they're nothing. And then you could give some rough estimate of what each person's personal data is worth.
Yeah, and also, you know, what's the sort of what's the worth of all the friends that person has that will see this like, and what's the worth of, you know, if some celebrity likes something, there's a good chance that more people are going to see it. And you know, so in that case, it's not necessarily split evenly between all the users. It becomes...
There's definitely hubs and nodes.
Yeah, it's a very complex problem, and it's not one you can easily objectively analyze.
Definitely. And you know, nor may you not... You probably wouldn't even want to on a personal level, because it's really... Everybody's comfort with privacy is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
It depends what you're willing to give up for a download or something.
Yeah, and like some ask you for zip codes, and why do you want that?
Yeah, then that's the other thing, right? You know, not only do you get a platform to communicate with people, but you also may get a way to track usage statistics and where people are downloading your music from. You get all this information for giving out music. And, you know, if you use it really creatively, if you use it to your advantage, it can be very much worth it for a producer to put out music for free in exchange for that information.
Yeah. And then on the sort of another side, you see producers like Dylan Francis who, you know, people like one of his songs or they follow his page because they like a song and they get it for free. Which I guess not for him so much, but I guess what I mean to say is that his Facebook page is sort of like an entertainment center for people in general.
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
Yeah,
Dylan Francis on Facebook, probably one of the most entertaining pages to follow.
One that I also found sort of entertaining and kind of weird at times is Unknown to the Unknown. They're a label that releases occasionally free things, but just a lot of kind of older sounding things, and they have a Facebook which is also very lively and full with, you know, sort of meme-y kind of things and gags, and it's fun and people enjoy it in a broader sense than music, and that gets them to listen to more of the music, and that has sort of an intrinsic value whether it be monetary or not.
Yeah, it's funny, if you make your page attractive for things other than music, it amplifies the value of the musical things you're putting on it too, right?
Yeah,
which is interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's I mean, that's kind of the world we're living in to some degree. You know, things are becoming much more multi-platform, but more like multimedia, I guess.
Yeah.
Digital multimedia. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know. That's
people have their hands in everything.
Yeah. And so, you know, you can't just make music. You have to make the art, and you have to promo and, like, do all these kind of, like, I don't know, whatever you want to do, whatever kind of audience you want to attract. You have to have visuals and audio to attract them.
Yeah, people are, especially music producers, because they're solo artists, generally speaking, they're taking management into their own hands in a partial sense anyway.
Yeah. But all these likes and everything, I mean, I wonder if some of it isn't just to get, you know, is it just to get people to come to their shows or buy their next album, or how does that, you know, sort of create a future?
Yeah, I think this is a big question right now, because this free model, or free in exchange for likes, hasn't really been around for long enough, I think, to adequately answer the question of, you know, what value do you get out of these followers, these people who like your page?
Yeah, because, I mean, if someone just gives you a like and doesn't do anything else, and no one else that sees that like does anything else, then is there any value to it for the... You know, producer,
yeah,
I guess,
I mean,
they get the satisfaction of someone listening to
it. If you get an email subscriber, you can email a million times, but it doesn't mean they're actually gonna buy your next record, right?
Yeah. And well, it seems like a lot of musicians in general make the most money from live performances. I'm not sure that I'd be willing to bet that a lot of these people that are liking and following aren't going to the live shows.
Probably true.
Aren't buying the records. You know, it's...
But, you know, it also becomes the fact that all the people that like your page, it doesn't matter where they live, right? They can enjoy your music. So you can amass this army of people who may not even live where you live.
Yeah.
You can never actually reach your fans physically, but...
Yeah. That's true. And then, I guess there's also kind of other ways people can make money. Artists can make money by getting their music out there, and one that I've seen that's really interesting is a music subscription service called drip.fm, and a few labels that I know do it, Dirty Bird and Mad Decent, and basically what you do is you sign up for some monthly fee, and then they send you all of the releases, along with some exclusive releases, as well as, you know, like stickers, or I don't know, like specially pressed vinyls, or, you know, like things like that.
It's like a fan club.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think that's an interesting way of doing it, because then there really is an incentive to do it. It's like, okay, you know, you can pirate all of our material, but unless you join this club, like, you know, then you'll, like, A, you'll be part of this, you'll be supporting us if you really like us, and you'll get this cool gear and possibly special releases that you won't be able to get other places. Yeah. And I think that's an interesting way of doing it, because it somewhat circumvents the piracy leading to lack of direct payment for music, and also gives people sort of an option, you know, because I've seen also different levels of subscribers. You know, you can try it out for a while, or you can, you know, kind of pay more, I think, and you can get more.
Yeah. Well, these are all, I mean, we've raised a lot of questions here, and not too many answers, but hopefully we're going to get a bunch more answers next week, because next week we're having local East Van bass legend Vincent Parker in the studio. So he's a musician that both of us are fans of and gives away a lot of his music for free. Yeah. So we're going to ask him some pressing questions on how he deals with giving away his music, and whether he thinks it's worth it for his music career.
Yeah, and we're going to kind of also discuss it, you know, from a creative standpoint. You know, what is all this music done to the world of music as we know it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, that's next week. You want to wrap it up here?
Yeah. So okay. We're gonna play sort of an interesting mix: a slower part with some housey kind of things, and then a second half with some more upbeat sort of juke jungle.
Oh, that sounds fun.
All that fun stuff.
You know what? Let's just flip it around. Let's play the juke jungle stuff first.
Okay. All right. So we'll start it off good and fast. You know what? Like 150, something like that. Yeah, BPM.
Get into it. Get your feet moving.
Yeah. They don't call it footwork for reason.
Yeah. So I guess we'll be back. We're going to maybe play some ads before we get in there. But yeah, and if you like any of the tracks you're going to hear, you can always check out our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. We have podcast links to all our shows, and also direct download links for all the, well, not direct download, but download links to all the songs that we're playing every show. So if you hear a song you like, just go on copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com and you can download that one for yourself.
Yeah. Alrighty. You're listening to CITR 101.9. You'll be right back after some fun commercials.
BC Epilepsy Society presents Cindy's 5K Poker Walk. Sunday, May 26th, 8:30 a.m. at Carisdale Arena, 40th and East Boulevard. It's a 5K walk and a poker game. Every kilometer, a playing card will be handed out. At the finish line, the best poker hand wins a prize. Register at any Running Room store, online at runningroom.com, or on the day at Carisdale Arena. Sunday, May 26th at 8:30 a.m. For more information, go to bcepilepsy.com.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to citr.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
And you are back with the Copyright Experiment here on CITR 101.9. This is DJ Mochi accidentally playing some ads that he doesn't want to play. And we're about to get into the mix with a little bit of jungle stuff, footwork, you know, all that stuff around 150. And we're starting off with a Matt the Alien remix of Fubar by, who's it by? Bad Influence. This is a really neat one. He actually sent it to me before it was released for free, which is nice of him. But then he just gave it to everyone anyway, so it's good stuff. I might mention a Vancouver local.
and get them out of their business.
Filth Kids, lit up off their Free Space Potion EP. Unit under the name Philip D. Kick off of his Free Footwork Jungle Volume 2. Song is Horns for 94 by DJ Tactics. This is the Philip D. Kick Footwork Jungle remix.
This crazy track is Sasa Samoa by Coral Raven, Elite Gymnastics and Remix. The one before that was Boyland's Highlight, Sinjin Hawk on the remix. Sinjin Hawk, by the way, is a Canadian, in case you didn't know that. Living in Barcelona right now. And next up is something I made up a little bit recently. It's Owl City and Carly Rae Jepsen. It's a good time, a little remix I did. Kind of goofy, but it's fun. It's fun. NTS Part 2. Toronto native. Neat stuff. We'll be right back.
cause I'm wooden. My pitch naturally 86th white wooden. Ever since I couldn't got exposed as I wooden. I said fuck, gosh, shouldn't, cause these hoes on watch for you. Trying to beat the rocks on the spot for you. Talking like I told you, toast young Shire, like I got a clock for you. 4500 stock, looking for a walk for you. When you're on third, like a real down ass chick supposed to. Last night I didn't know you, I just wanted to get close to the ghost school. I went to sleep chasing these hoes and woke up with the most true life. You got a cold shine, you talk old time. Even on an 8-point scale, you a hard 9. But underneath my hard grind, I'm a hard vine. Ball of life sitting on my neck, got a gold mine. Let's get these G's poppin', let's get these G's swappin'. Let's make a super race, baby, let's make a super race up. Let's get these G's poppin', let's get these G's swappin'. Let's make a super race, baby, let's make a super race. This ain't no hole inside me sleepin', I'm trying to piece together what's compelling my proximity to stay centered. Like you was in about my life force. This ain't no pussy with my business, I'm some nice whores. For I guess a lack of a better vernacular, now I'm trying to tell you that your pussy is spectacular. But when you put it on me, I felt more than my nut bust. Bust smoke dust till it orbited my heart's cusp. Now I'm wondering, yo, what you been doing since you ain't hoeing. I came for that, you gave me that, but now where you going? I'm blowing pieces, blowing kisses, straight showing now. Like the sun through the clouds and I'm blowing now. I'm so focused now, from the root of what I did for that glow smile. To the furthest out miles of your dope style. I'm on my butterfly shit, you the golden child. You got a cold shine, you talk old time. Even on an 8-point scale, you a hard 9. But underneath my hard rhyme, I'm a hard vine. Ball of life sitting on my neck, got a gold mine. Let's get these G's poppin', let's get these G's swappin'. Let's make a super race, baby, let's make a super race up. Let's get these G's poppin', let's get these G's swappin'. Let's make a super race, baby, let's make a super race. Race, race,
the tricks, start a real relationship. Hit the ball on the sweet spot. Side strings is fine dings for my weak spots. I've got my technique freak, I'm flipping deep shots. Usually I give a peek and I don't speak much. You got me cracking the ball, hoping you'll creep lots. How they fool that man longer am I geeked up? And trying to make you sweat a bit, or should I speak up? Cocaine girl, I could turn the heat up, or I could do the same, we could hop up in the freezer. Far left cube in the train, that could be us. Until you melt away in a half drunk Caesar. Or I could walk away if it please. Yeah, I've done it before, but low key, please say it ain't so. My intentions were narrow in scope, but then you made me grow. I know you know I know, because you showed the world I know. And you ain't hiding, you ride side by side as the highest. I'll take you to a height where no one else could even find it. The space and time to move like Donnie's name for someone like you. Until the fall kills me when my wings catch on fire.
This is EEPROM's Sub Rock off of his new Half-Life album, released freely on Accelerator. One before that, sorry, this, yeah, that one's coming later. The track was out now for free. Before that was Dream Dior's Super Race on Bermuda. Dream Dior is a local Vancouver guy. Check him out.
Money is the reason we exist. Everybody knows it. It's a fact. Kiss, kiss.
That was just Kashmir Cat's remix of National Anthem by Lana Del Rey. Interestingly, released for free, even though the hook is money is the reason we exist. Really neat track. I love that guy ever since he had some of his songs on Rusty's Essential Mix. Anyways, you're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment. We're going to play a few commercials and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about 4 times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, Baru Latino Restaurante, The Bike Kitchen, Cove, Dentry's Pub, Displace Hatchery, Limelight, The Eatery, Fresh is Best Salsa, Gargoyles, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
And you're back with the Copyright Experiment here on CITR 101.9. We're going to start things off once again a little housey this time. And the first track is Body's remix of Without by Sampha. Sampha is the vocalist you hear on Subtract's album. And sometimes mistaken for Subtract. Anyways, this is a song that was released for free on Accelerator once again just this month. And we'll start it off.
Thank you. switching with Flopper, we ride down the track together.
The end of our show. This song right now is hexadecimal and self-evident, two of our favorites on the show. A song called Get Together on the Infinite Machine second anniversary compilation. And next up is Pierre with Arl Tentacles. You're listening to CITR 101.9. Have a good night.
Check out the blog.
Oh yeah, and don't forget to check out our blog at
copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com.
Track listing. We got track listing, downloads, everything up there. Check it out.
Beautiful country. You know, I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good and